Well, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn to Daniel chapter 6. We are continuing the sermon series. As you know, we've been studying the Bible together as we've been going one story at a time. Last week, we were in Daniel chapter 1. We saw that even though it looked like God was not there, that his fingerprints were everywhere, that God is still here, that though our circumstances, though they may be troublesome, his faithfulness is still present, that God's word is true, that he is with us. And so today we're skipping ahead to chapter 6. Decades have passed. Many things have changed, but the one thing that has not changed is Daniel's faithfulness. He is still faithful, still serving the one true God. Daniel had already chosen conviction. His conviction was in the Lord. His conviction was that God was the one true God, and he was going to serve him no matter what. He was not going to compromise his faith, even when it became costly. Daniel's faith wasn't a reaction to pressure. It was a result of a life built on God's promises. You see, many years ago, before we get to Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel was a young exile. And he had heard the words of the prophet Jeremiah. Do you remember Jeremiah 29:11? Every high school graduate uses this for their life verse. It is a great verse, but we miss out on the truth of the context of that verse. Jeremiah 29:11, you know the verse. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for your well-being, to give you a future and a hope. Well, the context of that statement was written to Daniel and his friends, the people who were taken away from their homes. It says that, hey, you're going to be going away. You're going to be out of your comfort zone. But know this, I'm still with you. I'm still here. So stay faithful. Have conviction. Don't compromise. Stay faithful to the one true God. And so Daniel 6 isn't a story about being brave in the moment. It's a story about being faithful over a lifetime. And what we see in this passage is that conviction doesn't start in crisis. It flows from daily communion with God. It's what happens when a heart is already surrendered, already trusting. And that's where we're headed today. The title of the sermon today is Conviction Over Compromise Begins with a Heart Captured by Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. I hope you're already there. We're going to begin with verse 10. I'm going to sum up what's happened between verses 1 and 9 to get us to 10. Daniel, again, he's an old man. He's in his 80s, and he is still faithfully serving the Lord, and people got a little jealous of him. You remember the story of Joseph. Joseph rose in power. The same is happening with Daniel. Daniel's now in a position of power, and the people who are not the Jewish followers, they are jealous of Daniel. But it says in the passage they could find nothing wrong with him to demote him, so they went after his convictions. They went after his faithfulness to the one true God. So they came up with an idea. They tricked the king into signing a law that for 30 days no one should pray to anyone else except for to King Darius. Well, let's see what happens in our story. Daniel chapter 6, begin with verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. They came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judea, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed. But he makes petitions three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunctions or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. And then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you. And a stone was brought and lay on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. And so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king had commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. And then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever, and his kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues, he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, and he who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that we can be here this morning. Thankful to hear your word. God, I'm thankful that all of Scripture points to the great and true and mighty King, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that Jesus wasn't just a willing king to rescue. God, he was both willing and able to rescue. God, thank you for what Jesus has done. Thank you for the difference that Jesus makes in our life. And Father, my prayer this morning, God, that we wouldn't just read this story, a familiar story that we've heard from our childhood, and think that we just need to be like Daniel. Father, no, I pray that our hearts would be captured by your son, Jesus Christ. That we would see Jesus clearly through this passage. God, that we would be reminded, Lord, that we were just like Daniel, stuck in a den of death. No way to escape, no way to get around, nothing we could do to earn our way out. But Jesus came, was willing and able, fulfilled the law to rescue us. And that makes all the difference in our lives. So, Father, would you bless the reading and the teaching of your word this morning. So in Jesus' name I pray, amen. A few years ago on Mother's Day, my wife bought me a shirt off of Amazon, you know, one of those marketplace things. And she said, "Hey, I'd love for you to wear this shirt for Mother's Day." Now, I'm not an idiot. And so when my wife tells me, "Would you wear the shirt on Mother's Day?" I say, yes. I'm willing to compromise and give in a little bit there because it's Mother's Day. It's hers, her day. So I want to honor her. So I put the shirt on, came to Sunday morning like I normally do. I was with in the youth lounge with the students. And she said, "Hey, can you come over to our life group room?" I said, "Okay." So I walk over. All the women are sitting down. All the men are standing up. The women are laughing and the men are confused. We quickly realized we'd been set up. We all had the same shirt on. They were pranking us. We had been set up. It was a funny moment, and it was good. I didn't care because I got another shirt out of the deal. I need more shirts, you know. It was a blue shirt. I love blue, and so that was fine with me. Church, in a more serious way, can I tell you that we live in a world today, in a culture today, that wants us to make small compromises in our faith to blend in. And sometimes we don't even realize we're making these compromises. We see what everyone else has, and we want to be like that. We see what the world has to offer, so we say, that's what I want in my life. And all of a sudden, what happens is we make small compromises in our daily lives, in our families as well, small compromises that don't seem like a big deal. Sure, we can miss church here on this Sunday. We can miss it here. It's okay. We're going to be there the other weeks of the year. We can compromise in this area because we're going to do this. And what happens is when we make small compromises, it dulls down our faith. What happens is our faith then becomes like lukewarm temperature. We become lukewarm Christians because we have compromised our faith in other areas of our life. Just small areas, small things, not a big deal. It's not that we're rebelling. It's not like we're going against God's word. We're just compromising in our faith in other ways because we want to blend in and be like everyone else. Church, God has called us to be different. God has called us to be set apart. God has called us to truly treasure Jesus. And a response to God's goodness, a response to the glorious treasure of Jesus that it is that we will obey him. We won't want anything else because nothing else is better than Jesus. Shane Pruitt said this last week. He said that lukewarm Christianity is so popular that biblical Christianity looks radical. I'm afraid he's right. These small compromises that we make, what happens when we do that? It moves Jesus off of the throne of our hearts, and it welcomes other things and other people in. Now, instead of Jesus ruling and reigning on the throne of your heart, he's sharing space. Someone else has moved in. Jesus can't be Lord of your life if he's not Lord of all of your life. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. I tell our students all the time that Jesus should be first place in your life. If we're thinking of a race, he should win by multiple laps. There shouldn't be a second place, a close photo finish race. No, he should be first place. And so this passage, this story that we're reading about Daniel, it is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. It's an awesome story. And the temptation is for us to say, hey, be like Daniel. But that's not the point at all. The point of the story is for us to trust like Daniel, to put our place, to place our trust and our faith in the God of Daniel, who is our God as well, to see how good God is, and we won't want anything else that there is in this world. And so this story, it's also tempting to say, hey, the world is so wicked and terrible. Let's stand up against it and let's fight back. But that's not what God has called us to do. He has called us to stand out. He has called us to be different. But effort isn't what God is after. Effort is good. Effort gets you so far, but effort is not sustainable. And the temptation for many of us as believers in Jesus Christ is to just try harder. I can balance everything out. I can balance out sharing space with Jesus in my life, and I can do the church thing, and I can do my own thing. I can try harder. When I fail, I can just try harder, and I can have integrity. No, that's not it at all. What the Lord is after, he's after our hearts. He's always been after our hearts. He has always been after that we would see him, that we would treasure him, and that we would want more of him than anything else in the world. And so, the title of the sermon is Conviction Over Compromise. When your heart has been captured by Christ, you will live with integrity by choosing faithfulness, even when no one is watching. That's point number one. If you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, when your heart is captured by Christ, you will live with integrity by choosing faithfulness, even when no one is watching. This first point comes from the first five verses of Daniel chapter 6. Daniel, his enemies couldn't find anything wrong with him. Daniel was a man full of integrity. When no one was watching, Daniel was faithful to God. It wasn't a performance. It wasn't a show. Daniel was simply just responding to God. Daniel was simply living out his faith. I love the verse 4 says, his enemies, look at it, could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful. And verse 5 says, we won't find any charge against this Daniel unless we find something concerning the law of his God. What a testimony that the only accusation they could come up with was that his unwavering commitment to the Lord was too strong. They couldn't find anything else. They said, we're going to have to come up with something. The only thing we can find wrong with this guy is he's too faithful to his God. He actually believes this thing. In a culture that had many gods, they worshiped many gods. Daniel was the one who said, no, I'm only worshiping the one true God. Daniel had integrity. Daniel was faithful to God when no one was watching. Daniel could have compromised. He didn't have to go to that window to pray. He could have made other compromises in his life, but Daniel had integrity when no one was watching. Here's what I've learned to be true in my own life personally. Integrity is sustained by passion. Integrity is sustained by passion or by love. It's not just about effort. It's about love. A few years ago, I was forced to really make some changes in my life as far as my health goes. I'd done diets over the years. I'd exercised some, and it would always come and go. But it wasn't until my doctor really kind of laid out for me, showed me the lab results, my blood work, said, you're going to have to get serious about this if you want to be around for your children. That changes things for me. The integrity that I had, the decisions that I had to make on a daily basis when no one's watching was fueled by my love for my children. It wasn't about just what I wanted. It was about what mattered most to me. You see, when your heart is captured by something or someone, you don't have to force integrity. You want it. You choose it. And that's what we see in Daniel. His integrity wasn't fueled by fear, it was fueled by love. He wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to be faithful to the Lord because God had been good, even when his circumstances were not good. You see, you don't build conviction in the moment of pressure. You build it in the everyday unseen moments. Conviction and integrity go hand in hand. Conviction is the decision that you have settled that God is good no matter what. Integrity is the practice of that decision. Conviction, God is good. I love him. I'm thankful for what Christ has done in my life. I want to worship him. He is worthy of it all. All the songs that we sing. Integrity then is the practice of that conviction. And that integrity is rooted in a love for Jesus. Let me ask you, have you been struggling with integrity? Have you made compromises in your faith? Are there areas of your life that have been compromised that no one knows about? Can I tell you that the solution isn't to try harder? The solution isn't to come up with a plan that you're going to do better this time, you're going to work harder this time at it, you're going to do things different. The solution is not to try harder. The solution is Jesus. The solution is to spend more time with Jesus. The solution is to, as 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Instead of spending more time coming up with a plan, spend more time with Jesus. Conviction, integrity, doesn't mean that the road is going to be easy in life. There will be temptations. There will be obstacles. There will be things that will be costly for you to say no to so you can say yes to being obedient and to be faithful to Jesus. But conviction doesn't mean that these consequences doesn't mean that God is not good. He is still good through all of it. Here's the second truth that we hold on to. When your heart is captured by Christ, you will stay faithful when trusting Christ, when following him becomes costly. When it becomes costly to say yes to Jesus, you stay faithful. In verses 6 through 17, we see this, that after the officials manipulated King Darius into signing this law, Daniel faced a critical decision. He had a choice to make. Was he going to be faithful? His conviction and his integrity, were they going to continue to stay true? Or would he compromise his faith some? I love verse 10. Look at verse 10 again. When Daniel knew, right, so he knew exactly what was happening. When he knew the document had been signed, he went to his house and he prayed 3 times a day as he had done previously. There's no panic with Daniel. It didn't say Daniel went home, went to his neighbors and said, can y'all believe this, what they're trying to do? He didn't get all upset. He didn't go on Facebook and write a long rant about how wicked and terrible this culture is. He didn't do any of that. He could have. Wouldn't have done him any good. No, it says that Daniel went home. He got down on his knees, two of the windows facing Jerusalem, and he prayed as he has always done. He knew the cost. He knew that by doing so, he may go to the lion's den. But Daniel continually followed God. Daniel stayed faithful even when it became costly. And notice how Daniel prayed facing towards Jerusalem. This isn't just a geographical, this is theological for us. Daniel is facing Jerusalem. Daniel is facing back where home was. He is still clinging on to the hope of Jeremiah chapter 29:11. That God would one day come and deliver him, that he would come and rescue them and bring them back home, that he still does have a future and a hope and a plan. Daniel is still faithful to the Lord. His heart is still anchored in the truth of God, that his promises are good. Imagine being a Jewish person, hearing this story about Daniel. You know about Jeremiah 29:11. You know that the God had promised them that they were going to go, but he was going to come and rescue them and deliver them. And now you hear of Daniel actually living this out, actually trusting in God, and God was able to deliver them. this story would have said to you, hey, don't give up. Keep being faithful to God. Don't compromise your faith. He's not forgotten you. His plans are still good. And it's a reminder for us as well that God keeps his promises. That even though you may experience opposition, even though being faithful to God may cost you something, he's not forgotten you. That you can still be faithful because God is good. You see, opposition doesn't mean that God isn't good. It means that God is still good no matter what, and that he is worthy of our complete trust and complete faith in him. Opposition is not a detour in life. It's just part of the road. Earlier this week, I was driving out to Clinton, Kentucky. I'd never been there before. I live off Lovis Rail Road, and so my GPS took me through Lovisville, all these back roads. I didn't pass a single gas station for 40 minutes, and I was on low fuel, but I did pass a Dollar General. I had no cell phone service. My phone had loaded enough data just to get me where I needed to go. The road got a little crazy at times. It could be easy for me to feel like I was lost or I wasn't on the right path. Surely this is not where I'm supposed to be going. And in life, sometimes it can feel that way, can it not? Oh, it's just one thing after another. It's this and that. There's all these things that are not comfortable. Maybe this is where I'm supposed to be at. Maybe God has forgotten me. Opposition is not a detour in life. It's part of the road. Jesus told us that we will have persecution. Jesus told us that we will experience some things that will be costly. But that doesn't mean we stop being faithful to him. See, opposition is part of it. But let's be clear about what opposition, persecution, costly for your faith. Let's be clear about what that is not, okay? Opposition, persecution, costly for your faith is not your social media posts about Jesus, about your church getting fewer likes than your Facebook, than your vacation posts. It's not wanting Chick-fil-A on a Sunday and they're closed. That's not opposition. It's not parking down at the bus barn and the cart not picking you up and then you're late and you have a bad seat and you miss part of the service. That's not opposition. I just get here a little bit earlier. It's not having to choose between the UK game or going to church. It's not having to wait a little longer at Los Amigos because our service went a bit longer. It's none of those things. Those are all silly. I get that. Opposition, costly for your faith, looks a lot different. It might look like being mocked or excluded for standing up for your faith at school. Losing a promotion because you won't cut corners when your boss asks you to. Being called narrow-minded for believing what the Bible says, choosing church over sports or popularity, choosing to be faithful to the Lord when it costs you. It may not make headlines, but it still hurts. But as you spend time with Jesus, you realize that those temporary pains that you feel for saying yes to Jesus are completely worth it. You realize that you're not really missing out on anything. You're actually gaining something so much better. Your faith is strengthening in Jesus. Your walk with Jesus is deeper. And your passion for him is so great. Have there been moments when following Jesus felt too costly for you? Whether knowingly or unknowingly, you chose comfort or compromise instead of faithfulness? When you counted the cost and you said, I just don't think I can do it this time. Can I remind you, not out of guilt or shame for you, so please don't take it that way. Can I remind you that Jesus counted the cost for you? Counted the cost when he went to the cross for you. And he knew every moment of your life where you would choose to compromise your faith, and he still went to the cross for you. He knew all those moments and he paid it all. So today, would you be reminded of his grace and let that recapture your heart? Maybe you've drifted. Maybe you've been sharing places in your heart where Jesus belongs with sole possession. Would you just be reminded of how much God still loves you? That he knows where you're at and he still is for you. See, Daniel's unwavering conviction in the face of pressure didn't just help him avoid compromise, but it put God's greatness on full display. That leads us to our third and final point this morning, that when your heart is captured by Christ, you will point others to Jesus by reflecting his glory in your daily life. towards the end of the story, as the scene shifts, notice the contrast between Darius and Daniel. King Darius, he's in the palace, surrounded by anything and all the luxuries of this world that he wanted at the time. Food, whatever he wanted. I mean, he had full room service at his disposal. And it says he can't sleep, right? He's not at some cheap motel. Like, he is at the five-star hotel. He is at the palace. He is the king. He has everything he wants, and he can't sleep. When we travel, I just hate spending money on something that we're not really going to use, right? And so I'm like, we're only going to be in this hotel room for a few hours. Let's just get a cheap motel. And my wife's like, we're not doing that. I'm like, okay, we're not doing that. But back in January, I was traveling by myself. And my plans, the people I was going to stay with, one day I'm going to stay with them. So I was like, finally, I can just get me a cheap motel. And so I got one of the cheapest motels I could get near the airport in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that was a bad idea. I did not sleep well at all. It smelled weird. There was weird sounds above, below, beside, and outside. It was not good. I did not sleep well at all. In fact, I slept fully dressed with shoes on top of the bed. Just wasn't going there. Darius, he's not in some cheap motel. He's in the palace and he cannot sleep. He is not at peace. But Daniel, Daniel's the exact opposite of King Darius' position, but Daniel, we find him completely at peace. I like to imagine that when we get here, I think it's verse 20, where King Darius comes down and he cries out in anguish to Daniel. Is he there? Has your God delivered you? I like to think that there's a pause there because Daniel was just sleeping so good. Sleeping up on that belly of that lion, the furry is probably purring. It's like some nice, you know, like a massage blanket. And then he's got that big paw on top of him. It's like a furry weighted blanket. Daniel is sleeping. I mean, he's sleeping good. Darius woke him up. How is it that Daniel can be at peace and sleeping in the lion's den, and King Darius in the palace is not at peace? Watch this. Because peace doesn't come from where you are. It comes from whose you are. Daniel had anchored his heart in God long before the lion showed up. And you can reflect peace in the middle of your pressure as well. You can have peace no matter where you are because of whose you are. Because God is for you, because God's promises are true, because he never fails you. Even though you find yourself in a position that it costs you something, even though you find yourself in opposition, even though you find yourself in an area where it is not peaceful at all, you can have peace because you're not trusting in your own effort. You're trusting in the God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is in control of all things. See, Daniel, through his faithfulness, God used Daniel's faithfulness to bring glory to his great name. God used Daniel to show how he had peace in this moment. And you can rest in places that should rattle you. And when you do that, people will notice. Not because you're performing, but because you're trusting. When people know what you're going through, they see the lion's den that you're in, and they see that you have peace. How do you have this peace? How do you have hope? You get to tell them about Jesus. God uses those moments for his glory, for his greatness. And you're only going to be able to do that if you have spent time with Jesus on a daily basis. If your relationship with Jesus is rooted and grounded and your conviction is that God is good no matter what, that he is better than anything or anyone else. And your daily decisions, the integrity that you have, reflects that. And so when you find yourself in these moments and you're at peace and people ask you, how in the world you get to tell them about the hope of the gospel? And when your heart is captured by Christ, you don't just react to your circumstances. You reflect his character in them. It's not about your effort. It's about his goodness. You've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and you don't want anything else. People will notice. People will notice when your life is anchored in Christ. People will notice the difference in your life. And in those moments, God gets the glory. God gets the glory through it all. We read at the end of this passage that King Darius told everyone about Daniel's God, that he was greater than anyone or anything else. So let the gospel shape your heart in private, and God will get the glory in public. Church, we're not just called to survive the pressure. We're called to reflect Jesus through it. And you're not going to be able to do that by your mere effort, by trying harder, or by getting mad about this culture that we find ourselves living in. You're going to do it when your heart has been captured by Christ. All of Scripture points to Jesus. It tells about our need for a Savior. It tells us that we were broken and stuck in need of a rescuer, and Jesus came and rescued us. And in Daniel chapter 6, we could spend a lot of time talking about the pictures of Jesus that we see in this passage. But I want to share you real quick as we close, and Mark and the team, you can make your way forward here as we get ready for our time of response. Daniel was innocent and blameless. Jesus was also innocent and blameless. Daniel was placed in a den, and a stone was rolled in front of it, sealed. No one or nothing could change that. Not even the king himself could do anything about it. Jesus was dead. Jesus died on the cross. He was put in the tomb. The stone rolled in front of it. The king's guard stood guard over it, and no one could change anything about that. The law prevented it. But Jesus is greater. King Darius said he was willing and wanted to rescue Daniel, but he couldn't. Watch this. Jesus isn't just willing, he's able to rescue you. He's not just willing and wanting to. He has rescued you. He has forgiven you. He has called you out of the grave, and there's nothing that can stop you from God's grace. Jesus is so better. You see, the law reveals our guilt, but Jesus came to fulfill the law and to bear our guilt. He didn't just enter the den of lions. He stepped into the full weight of sin, shame, and death on our behalf. And just like God shut the mouth of the lions for Daniel, Jesus shuts the mouth of every lion in your life that has been lying to you. You know the lies that you hear from the enemy. Lies that says you're too far gone. You will never measure up. God could never love you. You are too far gone. You've messed up too much. You'll never be free from your past. You failed too many times. But Jesus shuts those lions' mouths. The gospel tells us that you are forgiven and free. You are loved and chosen and made new. You are not defined by what you've done, but by what Jesus has done for you. And church, I pray that you will treasure what Christ has done for you. That you won't just try harder, but you will treasure Jesus more. As we come to this time of response, I don't know what the Lord is dealing with you in your life. Maybe there have been areas of your life where you have compromised. Your integrity has been weakened. And you've been trying to just work harder on your own. Don't do that. Don't try harder. Try Jesus instead. So maybe this morning you need to come and confess. Maybe your response this morning simply needs to be just to sing loud, that God would restore the joy of your salvation, that you would actually believe what you say is true. Believe the words that you're singing. And maybe this morning you've never trusted in Jesus for salvation. You've been trying all on your own. You felt like there's no way you could possibly gain. Well, that's true. You will never be able to save yourself. But Jesus is not only willing, he's able to save you. So would you respond this morning? However the Lord is leading you to do, you can come and pray, you can confess, whatever the Lord is leading you to do, would you do that? Would you stand as we pray, and then we will enter into our time of response. Father, I thank you for what you've done. God, I thank you, Lord, that Jesus wasn't just a willing king to rescue, he was an able king to rescue us. God, that you didn't just have a good thought or have a good idea, just a good desire. Father, you follow through because of your love for us. God, thank you that even though we live in this world that is wicked and dark and is constantly pulling us away, Father, the solution isn't for us to try harder. It's to love you more. It's to spend time with you more. It's to taste and see that you are good. Father, forgive us for the compromises that we make in our life. Forgive us where we are treasuring things more than we are you. God, would you restore the joy of our salvation. God, help us to trust you, that you're good. God, would you help us to have faith? God, we may be weak. We may be struggling. Father, our help and our hope doesn't come from our strength. It comes from your strength. It comes from your truth and your goodness. Father, help us be people who have trusted in Jesus and know that there's nothing better. And we want to live our whole life, no matter the cost, pointing people to the saving work of Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen.